Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, October 4th, 2022, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, More About Alcoholism. You will find us on page 32 today at the second paragraph. We are going to read seven full sentences, which is 14 lines only in this particular paragraph. To unpack, there's a lot. It begins with, a man of 30 was doing a great deal of spree drinking, and then ends with, qualified him to drink as other men. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Rhonda R., the 12 traditions, Stephanie L., and being support for the rest of the meeting for our readings, etc., Leslie M., Shelley E., newcomer greeter, Alex K., announcements, Robin P. The share ID numbers for the last couple of days of meetings for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting for yesterday, October 3rd, 2022, is 19,476. And then the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting this morning, Tuesday, October 4th, share ID number is 19478, 19,478. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Rhonda.
Hey, Melanie, thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. It's Rhonda R. in Georgia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. from Georgia. I would like to now ask Stephanie L. from California to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Steph, thanks.
Good morning. Good morning, Stephanie L., and here's the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. No past.
Thank you, Stephanie L. Stephanie L. from California. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the direction is. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Please have your phone muted at all times. That keeps the line clear for the recording that's going to be happening for us later. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism, and you'll find us on page 32, paragraph 2. And we're going to read 7 full sentences today, unpacking only that portion of the paragraph. It's about 14 lines in total, and it begins with, a man of 30 was doing a great deal of free drinking, and then ends with, qualify him to drink as other men. And what I would like to do is ask Leslie M. to read that portion of that particular paragraph today, unpack it to see what the directions and the cautions and prayers are for us today, and then we'll open it up to the rest of the fellowship to be able to share. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. A man of 30 was doing a great deal of spree drinking. He was very nervous in the morning after these bouts and quieted himself with more liquor. He was ambitious to succeed in business, but saw that he could get nowhere if he drank at all. Once he started, he had no control whatever. He made up his mind that until he had been successful in business and had retired, he would not touch another drop. An exceptional man, he remained bone dry for 25 years and retired at the age of 55 after a successful and happy business career. Then he fell victim to a belief, which practically every alcoholic has, that his long period of sobriety and self-discipline has qualified him to drink as other men. This story evokes a lot of stuff for me. You know, it says he was doing a great deal of spree drinking. He was very nervous and quieted himself with more liquor, you know, and that's what I would do, you know. And part of that for me was that, you know, as I ate and probably had made a resolution that the evening before or that morning, I was not going to eat like that again. And there I was eating like that again. And so I was always eating, I thought, to cover up my feelings. And so then, of course, I would be feeling shame because I'd made this resolution in the morning and here I was doing it again. So I ate more and more and more, you know. And I did have a period of, you know, of, well, I'm just not going to start. You know, I had a period of a lot of anorexic behavior. Well, I'm just not going to eat, you know, that would be my control. So I related to that. Certainly, I was not successful for 25 years. There was not that. And I've been around, I've been in OA 32 years. So, but I had, you know, I continued to think for 28 years of that time, I continued to think that there was something else that I was supposed to be taking care of. I didn't get the message, you know. But the other thing is that when he says, then he fell victim to a belief, which practically every alcoholic has, that his long period of sobriety and self-discipline had qualified him to drink as other men. And to me, that sounds like the diet mentality. You know, I've lost all my weight. Here I am. I've made it. You know, now I can eat like other people eat. Well, I never ate like other people ate. I wanted to look like other people, but I didn't really ever want to eat like them. I wanted to eat the way I wanted to eat, which was, you know, binging all the time was basically what it got me to at the end. So, you know, there wasn't a possibility for me to be like other people because I am a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. I just wanted to appear like other people. And that's what took me down every time was the fact until I fully surrendered to this, you know, that this is a spiritual malady that requires a spiritual solution and that there was nothing else that I could possibly do about it. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie M. We're getting a started this morning with that paragraph or the portion of that particular paragraph. What I'd like to do now is offer others to be able to comment on that paragraph through their experience, strength, and hope as they've met this particular paragraph. If you have shared, though, in the last 3 days, we just ask that you would step back and let others share. We do value everyone's experience, and we love to hear new and fresh voices all the time. So if you would take that into consideration, we would respect and appreciate that very much. So I would take a lineup, but first name, first initial, the last name, and perhaps your state if you'd like.
Jamie, California.
Somebody from California.
Gen Z.
Gen Z. Okay.
Danielle W.
Danielle W.
Mimi S.
Mimi S, like Sam, okay?
That's right.
Patricia W, California.
Patricia W, California. Nancy W.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take that. That's a great lineup. Time's a ticking here. We want to save those moments. So Gen Z, Daniel W., Mimi S., Patricia W., and Nancy W. First up for 3 minutes, Gen Z, California, followed by Danielle.
Hi, my name is Gen Z. I'm a compulsive overeater with a history of anorexia and bulimia in California. I want to thank everybody for their service to make this thing possible. You know, the two things I related with was one is not being able to stop once I start, you know, eating those alcoholic foods. I've been talking with my sponsor about the doctor's opinion and the phenomenon of craving and the allergy of the body. And, you know, that's kind of what we were talking about, you know, the other day, my sponsor and I, not being able to stop once I start because it triggers the phenomenon of craving and the allergy of the body. And so I heard that this morning. And also, you know, I was in Compulsive Eaters Anonymous House quite a few years ago, and, you know, I lost 100 pounds, and I thought that I had it licked, you know, I thought I knew what I was doing, and, you know, that I had it under control. It's like, you know, like the leader was saying, you know, the diet mentality, you know, I've reached my goal, I can go back to eating how I used to eat now, you know, and I had lost over 100 pounds, and, you know, and I thought that I had achieved what I wanted. And, you know, I went back to binging and I gained like all my weight back plus more, you know, but more than the weight, it was just, you know, my state of mind. It was just, I, you know, I was missing the whole point, you know, which is the spiritual side of the program. And, you know, it's that diet mentality. And so, yeah, so that's what I thought of when I heard this paragraph. And I just really wanted to share on it. So I appreciate you guys listening. Thank you so much for all being here. And I hope everybody has a great day. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Jen Z. Appreciate that very much. Danielle W. from California, and then Mimi S. from Florida will follow. Hey, Danielle.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. This is Danielle. Very grateful to be here this morning, recovered one day at a time. It's so interesting to me. Sometimes you read a paragraph in the book and you feel like it's your biography, that somebody is truly writing your story. And this is so much my truth. For most of my life, I would wake up in the morning in just really a state of panic and anxiety, and I would use food to self-medicate, to calm, to get me through my day. And I remember very early in my career, I had embarked on this career I was very excited about, and I had finally broken through. I'd been given this really amazing opportunity, and I was working on my first project, my first show. And there was food everywhere. And every morning they would bring in these amazing bagels. And I'll just never forget, I could not stop. And I would keep leaving my desk and sneaking into the kitchen to get more bagels. And I remember my boss's boss finally one day caught me and said, "I don't know how you have time to work. All I see is you walking back and forth into the kitchen." And I was so full of shame. And I realized in that moment, I was not going to succeed in my career if I continued to behave the way I was behaving, this obsessiveness, this single focus about food. And unfortunately in my business, the food is everywhere, good food. And so I embarked on, 20 plus years of control, trying to control through dieting and injections and, not eating at all, and because I had to look the part, right? I had to pretend that I was worthy of this work. And the truth of the matter was, I really struggled. I've had successes and I've had huge failures in my career attributed to my character defects. Not just the fact that I was compulsively overeating, but everything that comes with that. And, thank God for this program, through the steps, through sponsorship, through these meetings, I'm in a place of neutrality now, and I get to continue to do the work, but now I'm in a place where I'm present, I'm focused, I'm not constantly obsessed with my weight or what I look like or how I'm eating. I get to be a part of, I get to be of service in the work that I do, and that's all because of this program. I can't imagine continuing the life that I was living for, 30 plus years. So for that, I'm eternally grateful, happy to be here with you today, and I hope everybody has a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Danielle W. from California. Next up, Mimi S. from Florida, followed by Patricia W. Good morning, Mimi. Star One, Mimi, are you still with us?
Oh, sorry about that. So I'm Mimi. I'm a grateful recovering member of OA. I'm not very, I don't go to meetings that often. And I really get it about that first bite of sugar. It took me so long to understand. I can remember way back. I've been fighting this for years. And I remember in the 90s, I decided I was going to get off white sugar, and I had no idea the battle I was fighting with sugar. Then I'd buy these jugs of apple juice, I just said, if you only eat white sugar, it's okay. I don't care if you eat anything else. That was my beginning thing, but I didn't have any idea how addictive sugar was. And I'm a recovering alcoholic, so of course the alcohol has a lot of sugar too. So what happened was I you know, thought I could have a little. But until I actually joined this meeting, which might have been 2 years ago, which I don't come that often, did I really get it that, reading the big book, that anything, any sugar at all, is, especially the white, I've got to be really careful with the other sugar too. I've got to eat protein ahead of time for food sugar. But any sugar does this thing to my brain, and it kicks it off, and it starts screaming more. And I'm so uncomfortable. The other night I had dinner with my brother and sister-in-law, and I can see the addiction in her that is, she doesn't have any idea what she's fighting, and she has no idea how she can get over it. You know, that she had to quit all of it. And so we had, then they say dessert. I always go, no dessert, thank you. We go out. And then she wants dessert. So then he, the second night he gave in, he wanted dessert. And he said to me, oh, don't you want just a little bite? And I said, no, I don't. Because the thing is, I've got this arthritis in my foot. And if I start eating sugar, I literally cannot walk. That's what made me stop, because the arthritis flares up. But I could see, and now I've gotten tough. Before it was a people-pleasing thing, oh, I'm different. And I don't like being different. I want to be part of it. But then I thought, well, you can be a part of it or you can walk. You know, you got to make your mind up. So I'd say to people, I like it, but I can't, because I can't walk. And I need to be able, I want to walk. And that always shuts people up when I say that. But it is so addictive. It is so addictive. And the thing that strikes me too is how my mind is so manipulative. Time? Is that time?
It is, yes. Hi, Mimi.
Okay, thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mimi S. from Florida. Next up is Patricia W., followed by Nancy W., but I want to let you know, after Nancy, I'd like to open up the lines for additional comments on paragraph 2, the first 7 sentences, for those that want to comment on it again. So in 6 minutes, we'll have other folks able to share. So Patricia W. will visit with us for 3 minutes in the meantime. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning. My name is Patricia W. I'm a compulsive overeater. There was a couple things that struck me in this paragraph. The first one is, once he started, he had no control whatever. And I've done this before. Today's my first day back. I've done this before where I start, I have a sweet, I had, in this case, it was a blueberry muffin, and then I end up going back slowly. And then yesterday I had a day where I ate like 4 or 5 different things that were sugar, filled with sugar. And then the shame comes on, you know, and I don't want to stay in the shame. I need to come here and I need to, you know, talk about what's going on with me and get back on track. Another thing that struck me was that after a long period of sobriety and self-discipline, you know, that had qualified him to drink as other men. I didn't have a long period of self-discipline and abstinence. I only had 52 days. And I believe what happened, it was a buildup of negative emotions that we talk about. And rather than call somebody and talk about what was going on, I chose to pick up the sugar. And I'm really grateful for all of you. Thank you to those of you who are of service in the meeting. And I'm excited to start over, and I'm looking for a sponsor. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Patricia W. from California. Next up will be Nancy W., but I did want to say that we're going to open up the lines for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 32 of your big book. We're going to read 7 full sentences, which equates to 14 lines, and it begins with, a man of 30 was doing a great deal of spree drinking, and ends with, qualified him to drink as other men. So for now, we'll listen to Nancy W. for 3 minutes before we open up those lines. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning, and thank you for your service. Nancy W. from Ontario, Canada, gratefully recovered. When we first read this line, it was the last sentence in it that caught my eye. But as I listened to everyone, I realized that this man of 30, I did the opposite. I I ate and ate and ate and ate until I retired and beyond that. And I was able to get help from a dear friend that connected me with Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm 3 months sober, food sober. And this, when I hear you speak of going back to sugar, I'm always encouraged with the promise and the hope that I don't have time for it. I'm just too old. But I'm really always every day remind myself to continue my neutrality in food, and always every morning ask my higher power to continue to keep me abstinent for today and only look at today. I'm so grateful that I have got my health back. In the spring, I thought I had to go to my doctor because I thought I had was getting Alzheimer's. It was only the brain fog from sugar, and I thought I didn't know what the fatigue was from. And I'm just so grateful to have my health back, to have my mind back, to be able to be of service to people, and to just give glory and praise to my higher power. And with this, I pass. Everyone have a good day.
Thank you very much, Nancy W. from Canada. Appreciate that very much. I'd like to open up the lines now for folks to be able to comment on paragraph 2, page 32, the first 7 sentences today. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience as well. I'll take first name, first initial, last names, and your state, perhaps.
Janice K.
Janice K.
Robin P.
Robin P.
Barbara W.
Somebody W.
Barbara.
Somebody else W. Laura, was it Laura W?
Laura W. Thank you.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And then I did hear Barbara W.
Holly L.
Holly L. Okay.
Maggie M.
Maggie M. I think that's probably going to be it, looking at the time. If not, I'll open it up again. So for now, this lineup, we have Janice K., Robin P., Laura W., Barbara W., Holly L., and Maggie M. Let's get started with Janice K., followed by Robin. Hey, Janice. Good morning.
Thank you. Hello. This is Janice K. in Oregon. Oh, my. I match up with, I think, 4 out of 5 here. There was a great deal of binging going on in my life. Yep, check. He was very nervous in the morning. I suspect a recent translation would probably say anxious and fearful. Been there, done that, and quieted it with more substance. However, yeah, once I started, I had no control, but then it says he was bone dry for 25 years. Oh my, if I made it from breakfast to dinner, that was enough. I would figure at that point that I had had a long period of abstinence and that self-discipline qualified me to eat like other people. What strikes me is the bone dry for 25 years. And the thought crosses my mind, what was going on? What else was happening? This guy was so bad he could not stop when he started. Was he smoking? Was he gambling? Was there sex going on? Was there something else happening? Where was all that energy going? If he were an eater, I would be saying, were you restricting? Were you binging and purging? Were you exercising? Because the insanity doesn't stop and it doesn't go away. It can be rechanneled. but I look at that bone dry for 25 years and it's either one of these statements does not belong. So anyway, that is, I match up 4 out of 5, but I could never have been bone dry for 25 years. Some people can. I hear it and I have no reason to doubt their stories. But I look at him and I think, what was happening? What else was going on? Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice K. from Oregon. Next up is Robin T.
Hi, thank you, Melanie. No, hi.
Is it still morning there? I'm not sure. It's afternoon, isn't it?
Yes, afternoon. it's after 3 here. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater currently in Lagos, Portugal. And, you know, I'm just so grateful to be abstinent. I just want to say that first. And, you know, I also checked all the boxes. I oh, my gosh, I was such a low-bottom, bulimic, anorexic, and compulsive overeater. And it, to me, it was all the same at hell. And once I started, I could never stop. And it was always Russian roulette. I never knew what was going to happen. And all, every day, I promised. And this day would be different. And that disease of denial, don't even know I'm lying, over and over and over. And thinking that this time it would be different. It was just so much hell, so much depression, so much wanting to die. And wishing that I wasn't on the planet anymore. And, you know, oh my gosh, just such a deadly disease. And I'm so grateful for recovery. You know, one day at a time, these past 6 years, they've all just been miraculous. And this is a dream come true, you know, for us to be traveling through Europe for 3 months, 22 cities, and just and abstinently and recovered, you know, but not cured. So every day I just get to take care of my recovery and work my program and reach out and make an outreach call and, you know, just and live in the steps and do my 10-11 and just connect and be a blessing and be blessed to be recovered today. And, you know, I'm looking out at the ocean here and, you know, we just get to keep exploring. And, oh my gosh, when I was in the food, this would be the last thing I would be doing. I just wouldn't have been able to do it. And I, the spiritual energy of recovery, you know, is just such a gift from God and a gift from all of you. So I'm so grateful for you. I'm sending you all a big hug and thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you very much, Robin P. Next up is Laura W. and followed by Barbara W. Good morning, Laura. Can you hear me, Melanie?
I can. Yes. Good morning.
Okay. Sorry. I was having trouble unmuting. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Gosh, these are such great paragraphs and more about alcoholism. You know, it reminds me that I have incredible willpower when it comes to my eating disorder. Most of my life, I've been an anorexic. When I was a kid, I was a compulsive eater. I was thinking this morning, you know, just how cunning, baffling, and powerful this illness is. And I just remember being a little kid and we'd go to church on Sundays and we'd stop and get bagels on the way home. And my dad would get a dozen bagels. And there's only 4 of us in the house, but, you know, usually they're supposed to last the week, you know, and my dad would have a bagel in the morning for breakfast. And I remember eating like 2 or 3 of them as a 7 or 8 year old. And then I decided, you know what? I'm not going to be fat anymore. I'm going to just diet. And boy, did I have willpower. I was such a good dieter, you know, and later on in life, when my anorexia really kicked in, you know, it gave me a sense of power and control to restrict and feel like, I mean, I was so selfish and self-centered. I felt so much better than everybody. I had this high. It was almost like literally taking a drug and getting high, being like, well, I don't need to eat, you know, and this man of 30, because he was nervous in the morning, and gosh, I felt such anxiety all day just about, okay, well, when do I have to eat? What am I going to eat? How can I restrict? How can I not eat and let people think that I did eat? And that nervous disposition was all about, you know, how do I quiet that anxiety? And I quieted it literally by restricting and
really even more so exercising and that endorphin high that I would get. And once he started, it says he has no control, whatever. And once I started like exercising, I didn't want to stop. I couldn't stop. Like I physically couldn't stop. I'd have to keep going and going until a certain number was reached, until certain calories were burned. And you know what? It was exhausting, physically and mentally. It was just exhausting. And until I realized I had an allergy of the body when it came to certain substances, and more so an obsession of the mind that told me that I had to do these things and eat these certain substances and not eat other substances, I couldn't recover. So today, boy, am I grateful. I'm grateful to have God in my life and to surrender to a higher power each day instead of surrendering to the treadmill and surrendering to restriction and eat healthy foods on a daily basis. I can't believe how much I eat on a daily basis of healthy, abstinent food, and you know, I'm not 1,000 pounds. That's exactly what my disease tells me, that I would be, you know, gain all this weight. And truthfully, God has given me not only the gift of surrender, but he's given me a relationship with him that is just far and above, better than any relationship I've ever had. So keep coming back, and thank you so much, everybody, for being there. I pass.
Thanks so much. Laura W. Next up is Barbara W., followed by Holly L. Hello there, Barbara.
Good morning. Sorry about that. Good morning, everyone. It's Barbara W. from Seattle. And, I didn't realize how much those few sentences struck me. My disease of compulsive eating, of secret eating, of not paying attention to what I spend on food, it didn't seem to matter. And late in my 20s, voila, whatever, I found myself, I have this vivid picture of me. I was expecting a first child, and we were in a small town, and my husband had gone off to work, and there I was getting on a bicycle and going off and buying something at a store. And I looked back on that and I thought, what insanity that must have been. How much I was endangering myself. Thinking, oh, I'm young, I can do this, no problem. And it just, I reflect back on the things I did. And back then I didn't seem to think it was a problem. Oh, you know, I eat more because, you know, whatever. And now I'm elderly. I'm 2 months short of 77. And my body isn't what it used to be. I'm blessed with good health, but I had over 2 years of abstinence. And here, something... Well, you know, bang, there I was in the food again. And my cross addiction turned out to be, I've been living not only on my limited fixed income, but I was dipping into my savings all the time, not thinking this was a problem. Well, now it is an issue. And I'm going, and my body isn't what it used to be. I'm getting groggy in the morning. I don't seem to have the energy I used to have. And I'm forgetting that my body is just not up to going off and binging on the same stuff. And now I'm in about day three of a new abstinence. Feeling the effects of my month-long relapse. And I'm so grateful to be here. It feels wonderful to share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Barbara W. Next up is Holly L., followed by Maggie M. And it looks like we probably would have room for one more to share on this paragraph after Maggie. So we want to get ready for that. Hey, good morning,
Hi,
Holly.
Hi, I'm Holly L., and I'm a compulsive overeater, sugar addict. I am very new to this program, but I'm so grateful I found it because I feel like I'm on the right road now. And I think it's interesting that the businessman in this story, you know, the resolve that he had so he could be successful to not drink for 30 years. And it just shows me how patient this disease is. And it waited for him to stop working. And I have to remember that I have a reprieve, and it's I have to do certain things. I was percolating along for several days now, feeling really good about my food plan and my program, and then I took my will back yesterday because, and I know why I did. There were certain things that happened, so. This requires effort. It requires a relationship with God, a constant contact with God. And so I knew what I did last night. I binged a little bit, and I don't want to do that anymore. I heard someone talk about the shame, and I'm feeling the shame right now. So I'm so grateful that I could share this and that I could be here and that I could remember that this is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And I think it's interesting that the businessman, he didn't wait till he was 62 to retire. He retired at 55 because he really wanted that drink. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly L. Hey, Holly L., what state are you from?
Maryland.
Maryland. Thanks for giving that to me. Appreciate that. Thanks for your share this morning.
Thank
okay,
you.
Next up is Maggie M. Yeah. Next up is Maggie M. And then after Maggie, I think we'll have time to take another share or two, one or two. So get ready for that. Hey, Maggie.
Hey, this is Maggie M. from California. I thought I would chime in because I am almost a woman of 30. I'm 29 right now. And I... I'm thinking about how much time I have spent being quote unquote bone dry, how much time I've spent being anxious or nervous, having the same constitution as this man of 30. And for me, what made me feel not nervous, what made me feel not anxious was control. There was nothing that quieted my anxiety so much as being on a diet, feeling like I had this goal to work towards, like my life will be okay. I will be okay when I lose 20 pounds, 30 pounds, whatever it was. So yeah, I really wanted to talk about the obsession of the mind, not so much the physical allergy, because for me, that is the greater part of my disease. It's this notion, if only I control everything that comes into my body, I'll be okay. And I think I wanted to talk about it because I can be bone dry, even in this program, following a meal plan. That makes me feel safe. That makes me feel okay. And that's still my disease. When I first got here, I loved the rigidity, because it made me feel great. Like people had instructions for me. They told me what to do and I did it. And today, like that is not in alignment, with how I want to work my program. There actually is a lot of professional help available. A lot of science is being done around the issue of eating disorders and food addiction. And I trust that today. And so I am learning how to let go of the rigidity and the rules and the restrictions. And I really look forward to the next 30 years of my life not revolving around the size and shape of my body, being present, showing up in a different way. And it doesn't, it's not even about like the successful and happy business career. It's, I want to be happy, joyous, and free. And I want food to just be food. So yeah, that's really it. With that, I pass. Thank you to everybody who's doing service.
Thank you very much, Maggie M. from California. It looks like we have time for one more share. Would you like that? Somebody want to take that, please? You got it, Janice. Yep, jump right in, Mademoiselle.
Okay, thank you, and good morning to everyone. I'm from Southern California, and this is Jan F., as in Sam. And what really spoke to me is when he fell victim to a belief, which practically every overeater has, that after this long bit of abstinence and self-discipline, I'm okay to eat a few of my alcoholic foods. I had had a beautiful, serene 3 years of abstinence. COVID was very peaceful, disregarding, of course, the horrors of COVID. I'm just talking about my food. And also, I started visiting family again. So I had this game plan. I had this mental twist that said I could go visit my daughter, eat the binge foods there. But when I came home, of course, they weren't in my home, and I'd be okay because look how long I had been abstinent. And this, and then I thought, oh, so I did that. No problem. I came back. I was abstinent. No, I'm sure I went up and visited her again, did the same thing, came back. No problem. And then my daughter from Texas came to visit, and her family, they haven't been here since COVID. And it was like, oh, look, well, they're getting donuts. I'll just go ahead and have one. Look, no problem. Until there was a problem. And we know how that story goes. And so what I look back, and really the problem was the spiritual malady. Where was God in all this? Well, I had conveniently put the addiction's voice louder than God's voice. So through the grace of God, I don't live that way now. I'm back. I have the peace around me. I'm into, I found a vision. It was God brought me to the vision, which I absolutely love. I'm going to put my name down at the end of this for phone calls because I'm having really a hard time getting on the membership, and I want to start reaching out to more people and this community. This is now my community, and I love it, and I'm grateful for it. And today I'm working on that spiritual fitness because it's that mental twist, as was shared just before me, that really gets me in trouble. So thank you so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice, for your share this morning. And that will end the time that we have for the sharing part of this meeting. So thank you, everyone that did share today and those that were of service today. And welcome to the month of October and our team. We will now close the meeting this morning with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. And we'll follow that by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
You bet, Melly. Good morning. Good morning, my fellows. This is Shelley E., the recovered compulsive overeater, in presently in Petoskey, Michigan. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service.